Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 22 to 25, this morning for the message. This morning I want to talk on this subject: when things go wrong, embrace the right. When things go wrong, embrace the right. How many know things are going to go wrong? How many own a car? How many know our cars prove it, right? Things are going to go wrong. If you have a family, if you're married or single, doesn't matter, things are going to go wrong. Things are going to go wrong. But the important thing is when things go wrong, you embrace the right way, the right answer, the right person. And that's really, I think, what this talks about. Thank you for your prayers for this last week. Our staff were at convention, and it was a wonderful convention. It really was. The times together and our early prayer meetings with ministers and their wives from all over the world gathered together to pray and believe the Lord, and then our sessions, and it was just really a wonderful time. So thank you for your prayers for safe journeys. We left, as you know, John and Sally left this last Monday, and we left right after service on Sunday and made it through the TSA checkpoints, except me. And so Cheryl went through fine, and then I went through, and the TSA guy that was there said, "Sir, can you hold up a minute?" And I said, "Sure." And he started putting on rubber gloves, and I thought, "Oh, boy." If I was at the doctor, I'd be bending over, but I'm not at the doctor. And he said, "I'm going to have to pat you down. Is that okay?" And I said, "Sure, go for it. Thanks for keeping us safe." So he's putting on the gloves, and he says, "Now, I need to tell you, I need to pat you down, and I won't tell you where it was, but it was not from my belly up or my knees down." Said, "I got to pat you down." I said, "Okay." He said, "You want to go to a separate room to do it?" I said, "No, I'd rather not be in a separate room with you patting me down." And he laughed. He says, "Okay, well, this is what I'm going to do." And he showed me what he was going to do. And Cheryl's over there just watching, laughing. And he said, "Now, I need you to turn around and see why." So I turned around, and there the outline of me was. And I had three hot spots right in that area. Says, "I got to check you out." So he's checking me and doing his thing, and he says, "Okay, not a problem." And no, I didn't wet my pants. Come on. I just preached. Anyway, so he said, "Okay, you're good to go." And I thanked him. "I appreciate you keeping us safe." And as I'm walking, I looked at Cheryl, and she's smiling. And I went, "You have got a hot husband today." Yeah. And so that got us there. And then coming back, we were TSA approved. That means you don't have to do as much stuff. And but Cheryl went through first. And I want to tell you, she goes through and it beeps. And the guy standing there, he says, I think it may be that beautiful necklace you have on. Can you take that off?" And she said, "Sure." He said, "Oh, no, you just go. You just go." "Thanks, sweetheart." So I was leery going through, but I made it anyway. So we got there, got back, had a great convention, and appreciate again your prayers for our safety and the convention as well. Okay, Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 22. When things go wrong, embrace the right. It says, "Now it happened on a certain day." And isn't that really when things usually go wrong? On a certain day, they'll go wrong. "That he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side of the lake.' And they launched out." Let us cross over to the other side of the lake. If you look at verse 26, we find that they were going to sail for the country of the Gadarenes, which was opposite of Galilee. And while he was there, Jesus was going to deliver a demon-possessed man. So Jesus had an appointment to keep. The disciples did not know what was going to happen over there, but how many know that Jesus knew, right? He had an appointment, and nothing was going to prevent him from getting to the other side. Disciples didn't know that, but Jesus did. All right? And so they got into a boat. He says, let us cross over to the other side. And they launched out. They launched out. They were headed to the other side. So far, so good. Everything is okay. They're in a boat. Jesus is in the boat. Disciples are in the boat. They're headed to the area of the Gadarenes across this great lake. Now, verse 23. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. Jesus fell asleep. He fell asleep because when Jesus was on earth, he was both God and man. It's important for us to know that. He was both God and man at the same time. The man side of him got tired, got weary, and the Bible says on a number of occasions he went away to rest, or he slept, or whatever, because he was human. But we need to know today, you need to know today, that the scriptures do tell us that God never sleeps nor slumbers. Now, he did while he was on earth, because he was part man, all man, all God. But God never sleeps or slumbers. You can be confident that no matter what time, day or night, you have a need, God is aware of it, and God's going to help us. Amen? And as one Bible teacher we used to have years ago that's gone to be with the Lord used to say, if God's going to stay up all night, I might as well go to sleep, right? I might as well go to sleep. I could have used that. I didn't get to bed till 3:30 this morning, so this could be an interesting sermon. I am really tired, and all of you are blurry right now. No, I'm kidding. So as they sailed, he fell asleep, comfortable in knowing, I'm sure, that he was going to get to where he was scheduled to go. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy or in danger. And this windstorm would be a sudden thing. It was in the desert, it's called a Scirocco wind. On the Sea of Galilee, it was this enormous wind that would suddenly come downward. Is exactly what it would do. It would just swirl and come downward on that ship, and it would make the ship sink. The waves go up, and the water would begin going in. And so they were filling with water. And I'm sure the disciples at that point, because how suddenly that storm came, things begin to go wrong. Things begin to go wrong for them. And I'm sure they're bailing like crazy, trying to get that water out, trying to keep that little boat afloat. Things are going wrong. And sometimes that's what happens to us. Suddenly, without warning, on a certain day, everything's going fine, and then bang, something happens. And so the disciples are in danger. They're in jeopardy. Verse 24. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. And from their vantage point, they were right. They were perishing. But they went to the right place. How many know when things go wrong, you need to embrace the right? You need to embrace the right way and the right thing and the right answer. And that is always Jesus. So they say, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then he arose, rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. In another version of this same story, the Bible says Jesus spoke to the winds and the wave and said, be still, be calm. And in the Greek, it means to be muzzled, like you muzzle a rabid dog. He says to the weather, be muzzled. And immediately there was a calm. As quickly as that storm came, so quickly it stopped because of the voice of the Master Jesus. And then there was this great calm, verse 25. But he said to them, where is your faith? Now remember last week we talked about the sowing of the seed and the good soil of our heart and how the seed can go into our heart and multiply exponentially and just grow. But now we see the disciples and their faith seems to be so weak. He says, where is your faith? And maybe we can look at this in a number of ways. Maybe what he was saying is, what you're going to put your faith in? The boats? Or you're going to put your faith in me? Or where is your faith that we're going to get to the other side safely? Nothing's going to happen because I am in your boat. Where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled and said to one another, who can this be? They knew who it was, but who can this be? Rhetorically, for he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. When things go wrong, embrace the right. Things go wrong. It just happens in our life. And I think sometimes we spend way too much time trying to figure out why they went wrong, when really, the truth is, it's going to happen. Sometimes it's our own fault, but most of the time it's just circumstances, because we live in a human world. We have a human body. You know, we are subject to things that happen to us, and things do go wrong. But when they go wrong, it's important to embrace the right way and the right answer and the right things. Yesterday, Cheryl and I went to lunch. I had called Cheryl. I was here at the church, and I said, "Sweetie, have you gone to lunch yet? Are you planning to come in?" And she hadn't. And I said, "Well, I'll wait for you if you want to come in." And she says, "Okay." And so I'll be in. So she met me here. And usually we will eat lunch locally, but it was getting a little later. And I said, let's just go somewhere. And she said, "Where are we going?" I said, I'm just not sure. And whenever I do that, I just usually leave the church parking lot and head west. And so I'm traveling, and she says, where are we going to eat at? And I said, I really don't know. And I just kept driving. I said, look at these beautiful trees. Aren't those colors beautiful? So we started talking about the beautiful colors, and we got a little closer to I-5. She says, so where are we going to have lunch? I said, I don't know. But isn't that a beautiful tree right there, that maple? And so we kept looking at trees. And then as we got closer to I-5, I had to decide, am I going to go north or am I going to go south? So I chose to go south because we had to get ready for service. And Eddie probably wouldn't have liked it if I called him and said, you preach tomorrow. I'm gone. And so we headed toward Portland. And so we got toward the 205 cutoff where we sometimes will eat lunch. And she said, are we? And I said, nah, I don't think so. But look at that tree. Isn't that gorgeous? Over by Kaiser. Isn't that a gorgeous tree? And we just kept going. And we're getting closer to the Interstate 5 bridge. And she said, where are we going to eat? And I said, you know, I really don't know. I said, what kind of gift cards do we have? Because convention pretty well took all her money. And so she looked and she says, well, we've got a gift card to Cracker Barrel. And I said, whoa, thank you to the family who gave us that. And I said, well, she said, there's one in Jansen Beach. I said, is it open? She said, yeah. I said, well, let's go to Cracker Barrel for lunch. So we crossed the river and went over and found Cracker Barrel and had a delightful lunch, met the manager, lives over across the river here, nice gentleman, and did some training in one of the other Cracker Barrels that we go to on our travels. And so we finished. And as we got ready to leave, I noticed the sign Ross. And whenever Cheryl sees the sign Ross, it's like a call to ministry. Because Ross is where Cheryl buys all the baby gifts for the little mamas in church and the things, and she finds these bargains. And so I saw Ross, and I said, sweetie, do you want to go over to Ross for a while? She says, do I want to go to Ross? And she said, yeah, if you don't mind, just for a few minutes. I said, okay, I have to study anyway. And so we parked at Ross, and she went in to do her ministry. And I opened my Bible. And as I'm reading my Bible, I noticed a young couple standing over to my right. They were outside. They were probably in their mid-20s. And a young man standing with them. And they were having a conversation, and I didn't roll down my windows, but it looked heated to me. And I thought, well, I wonder if he's witnessing to him. And then I thought, no, that's probably not what they're doing. And they're talking about something. And then I'm sitting there, and he comes around, and he heads toward my van, or Cheryl's van, I'm in it. And he goes to the car beside me on my left, and he starts looking inside. And I said, oh, gracious, they're going to break in. And I'm going to have to put on my Superman suit and jump out and save the day. And it's terrible to think the worst, honestly, and I confess that's what came into my mind. And then I noticed they looked in, and then they walked back, and then by this time another girl has come, and it's two couples about the same age, and they get into this car, and they drive away. And I have to confess to you, I thought to myself, I wonder what they're up to. And then they came back. About 10 minutes later, they came back, and they got out of the car, and I noticed they had purchased two knives. And then I thought, oh boy. Oh boy. And then they came over to this car and they started trying to get in the car. And then it dawned on me what it was. They had locked their keys in the car. And this young man was frantic. And so I opened my door and I said, kids, you need a little help? And we locked our keys. And I said, well, I have a coat hanger in the van. I didn't have all my tools, because if I had all my tools, I could have got in about 30 seconds. It's what I've learned to do as a pastor. Many keys have been locked in that driveway, and John and I and Jimmy have learned the tools to use. But I didn't have them, so we worked. And I said, let me help you, kids. And I worked, and I worked, and I worked, and I kept going. And I've yet... Yesterday, I found the car I couldn't get into without my tools. I just couldn't do it. So I overheard one of the young ladies. She said, well, shall I call Pedro? And I thought, who's Pedro? And I'm listening. She said, how much would he charge? $50. And then I realized they were going to call someone who will get in the car for him. So I keep trying. I said, well, maybe we can beat Pedro or something. And all this time, Cheryl has come out, and she is talking to him and witnessing and, you know, and how are you doing? How, you know, where do you live? You know, well, come to find out, these four kids were going to go to church. They were on their way to church. On Saturday night, they were going to go to a Saturday night service. And when I heard that, I kept going and thinking, you idiot. You thought they were breaking into the car. You thought it was a drug deal. You always think the worst. But so I couldn't do it, and I apologized. I said, kids, I am so sorry. I just can't do this. I don't have the tools really that we need. And about that time, Pedro drove up, and he drove up in this wrecker with the lights flashing. And Pedro gets out, and Pedro is a big guy. And he walks over and he looks at me holding the hanger and he goes, he has the proper tools. He goes over and in 30 seconds he's in the car and he's got their keys. Now, everyone's happy. I walk back to my van and I pull out $50. That's what I had in my wallet. There's no way I'm going to let these kids pay for that. So I took that $50 and I said, Pedro, how much do these kids owe you? He said, I charge $50. So I said, here. He said, what's that? I said, that's your $50. And Pedro looked at me and took his big arms and wrapped them around me and hugged me so tight. And I hugged Pedro. I was going to kind of slap him on the bottom, but I didn't think that would be appropriate. But I just hugged him, and then I turned around, and this young man, it was almost like a tear in his eye. He said, oh, no, thank you. And they hugged me. And so we're all hugging. And I overheard one of the young ladies say, see, I told you there are good people in this world. And you know, I did what any of you would have done. We just tried to help. Things went wrong for them that day, but we reached out to the right. We embraced the right. We tried to do the right thing. And those kids got in, and I may never see them again, but they were on their way to church. Because things are going to go wrong. Amen? Things will go wrong, but you need to embrace the right. All right, let's go through this real quickly. Verse 22. In a boat with his disciples, let's cross over to the other side. Jesus was on a mission. And nothing was going to stop him from getting to the other side. Why? Because if you read verses 26 through 39 of this chapter, you will discover that over in the area of the Gadarenes, there is a demon-possessed man. There is a man who you will discover when you read the further passages, he is filled with a legion of demons. As a matter of fact, when they arrive, another version of this says this demon man, possessed man, came running out, screaming and hollering. He had cut himself with rocks. He was howling at the moon at night. He was totally possessed of demons. And so much to the point that the demon spoke through him and said, we know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth. Why have you come to destroy us? Please don't send us to the pit, because all demons know that's their eventual end, is they're going to go into the bottomless pit that burns forever and ever. Amen? They know that. They said, don't send us there before our time. Put us into the pigs. There was a great number of pigs there. A community herd of pigs. And so Jesus said, be out of that man, into those pigs. Those demons went into the pigs. And it drove the pigs crazy. And the pigs went and ran over a cliff and perished. All of them died. And to think if that did that to those pigs, and yet that man could handle it with those demons inside of him. But that those demons were slowly trying to ruin that man's life. How many know the enemy will slowly try to ruin a life if he can? But thank God Jesus had an appointment and the storm wasn't going to stop him. He was going to get a man delivered by the power of his word. Hallelujah. And so Jesus spoke that word, and the Bible tells us that that man came to his senses, put clothing on him, and he says, Jesus, I want to go with you. Take me with you. And Jesus said, no, you don't go with me. No, he said, you go home and you tell them what great things God has done for you. And in the 39th verse, it says, return to your own house, tell what great things God has done for you. And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city that what great things Jesus had done for him. He became an evangelist. That's the reason Jesus got in the boat in verse 22. He got into the boat because he had a destiny, a destination. He had an appointment to deliver a man from demonic possession. Praise God. Amen. And nothing was going to stop him. You see, when things go wrong, we embrace the right way, the right answer, etc. Verse 23. But as they sailed, he fell asleep and a windstorm came. So things begin to go wrong. And the disciples were afraid, but Jesus was asleep. Things are going to go wrong in you and I's life as well. And probably all of you can testify to the fact that you've already had some things go wrong. Anybody here with me? Sure. And so what do we do when things go wrong? Well, the disciples, I'm sure, were bailing like crazy. It's what I'd have done if I'd have been in the boat. I'd have bailed a little bit, threw up a little bit, bailed a little bit, threw up a little bit. That's me in boats. But I'd have done everything I could, and rightfully so. When things go wrong, we ought to do everything we can to try to remedy the situation. But you reach a point where you can do nothing else, where you can't do any more. And that's when we have to believe that God will come through for us. Amen? That God will come through for us. Things will go wrong, but God will come through for us. And God will come through for you. Maybe you're here today, and right this very moment, you're going through a storm. Your boat is about to fill up with water, and you don't know what to do. Well, when things go wrong, you embrace the right way, the right answer, the right truth. Do the right thing. And they did. Look at verse 24. And they came to him and answered and awoke him and said, Master, Master, we are perishing. And in their vantage point, they were. Without divine intervention, they were perishing. And we know that. We know that without God's help, none of us are going to make it. But with God's help, we are going to make it. Amen? We're going to make it. Do all we can do, but then we trust to the Lord. You may have already gotten it in the mail, your voter's pamphlet. Sometime this week, you that are registered voters are going to get a voter ballot in the mail. Our country is at a crossroads. There is so much animosity and hatred and division in our capital and across our nation right now. It's like nobody's getting along. And you know what people are doing? They're calling each other names and they're fighting. They're rioting in the streets. They're doing all the wrong things, my friend. What we need to be doing is when things are going wrong, we need to embrace the right thing to do. To pray for one another, to forgive one another, to help one another, to be compassionate and kind to one another. Amen? And one thing we can do is that we can vote. And I'm not going to tell you how to vote, but I'll tell you this. This is how Pastor votes. I don't care if there's a D or there's an R or there's an I in front of that name. I am checking out the candidate to see how their values are. And I am voting with those who have my values, those that value the unborn, those that value the elderly, those that value marriage as God intended it. Those kind of values are the kind of people I want to vote for. I don't care if they're a man candidate, a woman candidate, a Republican or Democrat. If they have my values, they've got my votes. And I believe if we can do that across this nation, we can trip this nation back to righteousness instead of unrighteousness. Because if we don't, I fear that judgment is on the way. And it may be like Damocles' sword. It may be so close right now, but I still believe that we can turn the tide if we know that when things go wrong, embrace the right. As they went to the master in verse 24, that's what we need to be doing as Christians. We need to be praying for our nation. Hallelujah. Vote, pray for our nation, and believe God to intercede when things go wrong. And let me tell you, a lot of things have gone wrong lately around the world. But one thing that went right, thank God, is Pastor Brunson got released from a Turkish prison. Amen? Amen. He's out today. And I thank our president and our administration for the pressure they put on the Turkish government, because he was in prison for no other reason than the fact that he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I love the picture that came through the news media. As President Trump was sitting in a chair, Pastor Brunson was sitting in the other chair, and Pastor Brunson knelt to his knees, put his hand on our president, and prayed for him. What a beautiful picture. That's what everybody ought to be doing, amen? Is praying, is praying. So when things go wrong, let's embrace the right. Master, master, we are perishing. That's what it seems like in our nation, but I still believe the tide can turn if God's people will do the right thing. Verse 24, look at the rest of it. It says, then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. How many like the calm times? Are those just nice? The calm times? All right? You know, I don't know many mariners, I don't mean the baseball, but the ship people, who leave port and go, man, I hope we hit a typhoon. Man, it'd be so exciting to get wrapped up in a hurricane. Wouldn't that be nice? No, they don't do that. They want calm waters. Amen? Red sky in the morning? Sailor's warning. Red sky at night? Sailor's delight. I thought of that flying home on Friday. There was this beautiful red sky at night. I thought, boy, that's sailor's delight. They want calm. How many of us want calm? Amen. And I hate to confess this, but there was a time when I tell Cheryl, boy, things have been really calm lately. Watch out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, man, this is eerie. This is eerie. You know, it's calm, everything. Oh, boy, just get ready, get ready. That's terrible, isn't it? But the truth of it is, we like calm. We don't like the storm. But everybody's going to go through one, or two, or three, or four. We're going to go through them. But it's how you go through them. It's how you reach out to the Lord. When things go wrong, embrace the what? The right. Embrace the right answer, the right way, the right person, which is Jesus. And there was a calm. And this calm, this storm stopped as suddenly as it started. Because Jesus just spoke the word. And for you that are going through a storm right now, you call out to the Master. And I want to tell you, he will speak to your storm and it will stop. And you will have calm. Praise God. Amen? Okay. Until then, do what you can. Bail like crazy. But call on the Master. When you've done everything you can do, he'll be there. And he'll calm the storm. And then verse 25. He said, where is your faith? I talked a little bit about that. But look at their reaction. They marveled. They were afraid. They were marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? Who can this be? And I don't think that was a question of, is he really the Son of God? No, I think they knew he was the Son of God, but I think it was just a rhetorical expression. Who can this be that even the winds and the water obey him? You see, they'd seen miracles before. They'd seen Jesus do miracles on land, but now they saw him do something that they had never seen him do. He spoke to creation, and creation listened. And you know why creation listened? Because he was the creator. Jesus was there at creation. The Holy Spirit was there. God was there. And because they created it, they can control it. And Jesus controlled that storm. Who can this be? There's only one answer to that. It's Jesus. That's who it is. And when our storm calms down, it is important that all of us remember to give him credit for what God did. Amen? When we come together Wednesday night, I hope you can be there, and or maybe a future one, but I hope you'll spend a little time during that time of worship and prayer. I hope you'll spend a little time just thanking God for what he's done. Just thanking him for what he's done. You say, well, he hasn't done much lately. Well, the enemy would like to convince you of that, but I want to tell you he's done more than we think, right? Just begin to thank him. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done. I thank you for the answers. I thank you for giving me strength, even when I didn't realize I would need it. Thank you, Lord, for making a way where there seemed to be no way. Who can this be? Only Jesus. To close, I want to take you to an Old Testament passage. I want you to turn or look on the screen to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk. It's a tiny little book in the Old Testament. In a nutshell, Habakkuk is written by a prophet who God spoke to and said, I'm going to judge the nation of Judah. The nation of Judah is done. They have rejected God for so long. They have not repented of their sin, their national sin, the sins of the nation. There was corruption. There was people being, innocent people were being taken advantage of. The judges of the day were calling that which was evil, good, and that which was good, evil. The nation as a whole was in a terrible condition. God had warned them and warned them and warned them. And finally God spoke to Habakkuk and say, you tell them that the Babylonians are coming. I'm going to use the nation of Babylon to bring judgment upon the nation of Judah because they have not repented. I pray that God doesn't have to do that in America. I pray that God will withhold his judgment. And as long as God's people would continue to seek his face and to turn from their wicked ways, and all across this nation, if God's people will continue to cry out to God for our country, I believe that God will withhold his hand as long as he can find at least 10 people in this nation to call on God. Amen? As Sodom and Gomorrah, if they could have found just 10 people, 10 people that were righteous, God would have spared that city of destruction, but he couldn't even find that. God help America never reach that point. And so the nation of Judah is done. The Babylonians will invade. Judgment is coming. And then there, Habakkuk. It's interesting, the name Habakkuk, it's strange to us. It kind of comes out interesting, Habakkuk. And it means in the Hebrew, they believe the closest they can come to what the name means is one who embraces. One who embraces. When things go wrong, what? Embrace the right. When things go wrong, embrace the right. And that's what Habakkuk did. Habakkuk didn't understand everything. You read through this little book of 3 chapters. He didn't understand everything God was saying or that God was doing. He didn't totally agree with what God was about to do. But here's what he did. He trusted the God he did not understand. And he embraced his will. Reading from chapter 3, verse 17 through 19, here is what his conclusion was, the book, the prophet Habakkuk. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, what you have just read in that day is probably equal to what happened in the Great Depression and the fall of the stock market, where money became valueless And heretofore, the day before, wealthy individuals were jumping out of multiple-story windows to end it all. That's what happened in that day. Habakkuk said, everything is going to be gone. Everything. Yet, 18, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Because the Lord God is my strength, He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high heels. And that's not talking about ladies' shoes. It's talking about the mountaintops. See, what Habakkuk did was when things went wrong, and he knew it was coming, he said, I am going to embrace the right. I'm going to embrace God. I'm going to embrace His will. I'm going to trust in Him. Though I may not understand Him, I'm going to embrace Him, and I'm going to hold on for dear life. That's what the disciples did in the boat, and that's what you and I need to do in this day that we're living. We need to embrace God, embrace Jesus, embrace His will for our lives, and hold on and don't let go. Amen. Don't let the world, don't let our economy, don't let politics, don't let sin, don't let anything separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because we're going to get through the storm. That's the promise. If when things go wrong, we embrace the right. And that's what we want to do. Amen? If you believe that, give the Lord a great amen hand clap. Praise God. Amen. 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 Let's stand together, please. Lord, we thank You for the promise of Your Word. We thank You for the power of Your Word. We thank You that You speak to those winds and they stop. And Lord, You speak to the storms of our life and they have to stop. We thank You that You cared enough about a single individual full of demons that You risked everything to go over there and bring him into freedom. Thank You, Jesus, and had the power to do it. Father, we thank You for Habakkuk, who though he didn't quite understand everything that was happening, what he did know is that God was be his strength and that he could embrace the God of heaven and hold on for dear life. And so, Lord, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to embrace You, Jesus. We're going to do all we can do. As responsible citizens of this nation, we're going to cast our ballots. We're going to remember to vote. We're not just going to leave it laying there and say it's really not useful anyway. My vote doesn't count. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to go through that thing and choose the ones who have our values, Lord, in their platforms. And we're going to vote that way because we want righteousness to return to our nation. And then, Lord, we're going to hold on. We're going to hold on through every storm. Because You're going to get us through. And we thank You that at the end of the day, when things go wrong, we're going to hold to the right. We're going to embrace the right. We're going to embrace the right thing, the right person, the right answer. And that's Jesus Christ. For that one that's going through a storm right now, Lord, I don't know what they're going through right now, but You do. And I pray that You would help them and encourage them and strengthen them. And I pray that something that has been said in this message, some passage of Scripture that we've quoted today, would be an encouragement and a help to them, Lord. And that they too, along with Habakkuk, can say, yet I will trust the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Thank You, Jesus, for the power of Your Word. Thank You for the strength that You give us today. Help us, Lord, to enjoy the calm. And when the waters get rough, not to panic, but to trust Jesus, because He's on our side and He's with us. And we give You thanks today in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said amen. 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 Thanks for coming today. Praise God. Amen. Now you go have a great afternoon. Enjoy these beautiful colors out there. And even if you're by yourself, spend a little time with the Lord and thank Him for the goodness that He's given us in this wonderful place we live. We'll see you Wednesday, and if not, we'll see you Sunday. God bless. Thanks for coming.